producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, we got an email from one listener who complains that Chris is always heard eating on the air. And I have to tell you, I've been working with Chris now about 6 years. I think once or twice he was just in the final stages of finishing his breakfast. But that's about it. I mean, a guy has to eat.
Like right now.
He's eating breakfast right now, by the way. And since this person apparently has some interest in Chris eating and being well-fed and everything, and being healthy, especially since he had these health issues earlier this year, right now, I assure you, Chris is eating. What are you having for breakfast?
Breakfast burrito.
A breakfast burrito.
Yeah, it's really good. Actually, I think what they're picking up on is my nicotine gum. Sometimes I get nervous and I start chewing my gum and I forget to turn my mic off. I think that's what they're picking up on. I never eat, except for today. I never eat during the show. I think that's the height of unprofessionalism, but occasionally chewing a piece of my nicotine gum. Yeah, I've done that. And I'll just make sure that my mic's off when I'm chewing and I won't chew when it's on. How's that?
You just give me something to chew on. When you hear that little thump, by the way, which we try to edit out on the episodes, that's him turning off his mic. He has a little switch on the front of his mic. But apparently the people at Blue Microphones aren't capable of putting in a switch there that doesn't have an audible impact. That's how it goes. You know, when I think about all these contacts with higher beings who talk about peace and love and brotherhood, and then we have the mass shootings in San Bernardino, California. And the previous week we had shootings over at a Planned Parenthood center in Colorado. And I think, where's E.T.? Where's anyone watching all this carnage and not doing anything about it? I don't want to be political on this show, but I mean, you just can't take this sitting down.
I was just going to mention that I saw online a animated GIF of, you know, map of the United States. And in order, as the months scroll by, they would flash a red circle where one of these mass shootings occurred around the country. And right now we're well ahead of the one a day, believe it or not. We're at 355, I think, mass shootings. And we're only, what, about 330 days through the year here. So, or 356. So it'd be about 330-something days, yeah. So that's more than one a day. And I noticed if you look at it carefully, you'll notice that certain areas of the country, it's almost like going clockwise around the southern portion of the southern tier of the United States. And then a very dramatic march from West Coast to East Coast. I just found it very compelling. I need to look at it a little bit more closely and see if I can slow it down, because they really do flash all these locations by very quickly, so it's hard to really, you know, try to ascertain if there is a pattern in there. And it did look like a pattern to me. It seemed to be pulsing in a way that would indicate that there's some sort of patterning in there. And I mentioned this to Gene. He says, "Oh, we got to bring that up because, you know, that sounds like a conspiracy theory." Well, I just happened to notice. What do you think, Gene?
That is interesting, because remember, in all these incidents, we have separate actors, not acting in concert with one another. Different people having different problems. And as of the time we're recording this show, we don't know whether San Bernardino is an incident involving workplace violence, an act of terrorism, or some combination of the two. And this is one of the things that I have a beef with the way that the commentators on TV address it. It has to be either workplace violence or an act of terror. How about both? Oh, something in the workplace inspired them to perform what would be considered a terrorist act. you know, this binary thinking, you know, doesn't work very well.
I'm wondering about all these shooting drills that they've been having there, one a month, I think. And I think at first when stuff started happening, people just thought it was another drill. That comes up a lot, these shooting things. 9/11 happened during drills. I mean, I could go down the list of events that have been accompanied by a drill for that exact same thing, which that always seems suspicious to me.
Really weird, really strange, and you have to wonder here whether any of these conspiracy theories apply. And, you know, that takes us to the fringe of what we do here. But a pattern, a map showing a pattern in these events is far and above just random crazy people doing something. It is crazy people, maybe, but from different places, different motives. I don't know. And if you have a map that could show a pattern, would that predict the next event?
I didn't think about that. That's an interesting thought. But in the meantime, I'm having a breakfast burrito that was left to me by aliens.
Is that different than having a pancake left by aliens to some Wisconsin farmer? Joe Simonton, Wisconsin farmer back in the 50s or 60s. E.T. lands, and he sees something being cooked or prepared, and he says, yeah, can I have one of those? And they give him this pancake thing that looked like a spoiled pancake. I guess E.T. likes to eat spoiled pancakes. But, you know, receiving foodstuffs from strange creatures, that's something that happens throughout history. And that brings us to our guest this week, Joshua Cutchin. He's author of a book called A Trojan Feast, The Food and Drink Offerings of Aliens, Fairies, and Sasquatch. And let me just read what the publisher says about it. You've been warned. Accept food from fairies and you'll never escape their realm, according to European folklore. Accept food from Sasquatch and you will forever be trapped in the spirit world, according to indigenous North American tales. And today, abductees, at least those who have returned, often report being offered strange beverages from their captors. Are these similarities mere coincidence, or is something more at play? I don't know. But with Joe Simonton, though, it doesn't seem that he was in any way tethered to the aliens or whatever they were. He just went upon his life. I guess he had his 5 minutes of fame. Now, you'll notice I'm not saying that Joe Simonton had 15 minutes of fame, because I don't think he was famous long enough for that to have occurred. I think he's pretty much a relic in the history of the UFO field, pretty much a curiosity. And we've had a few over the years, but, you know, when our guest comes on, maybe he'll find them more significant.
Well, so, I seem to remember that he described the taste as being like somewhat like sawdust and cardboard or something.
Well, you know, maybe the thing is here is that my wife doesn't cook very much. And maybe, you know, if she cooked, maybe then what she does would be like, what, sawdust and cardboard.
That doesn't sound very good. Isn't that pancake still around? I think it's in like some collection or museum or something. Or we'll have to ask Joshua about that.
Yeah, that would be really fascinating.
I think it's still around. It's probably pretty stale by now.
Well, I suppose if you canned it, it would be all right, right? How about canned pancake? Canned alien pancake.
I don't know. I think I'm going to have to pass on that one, Gene.
Well, if you
I think my alien breakfast burrito was very good. And obviously these aliens have visited Mexico, so that was very good.
Okay, so you've just eaten an alien foodstuff.
Uh-huh.
And does that mean that something weird's going to happen to you?
Well, yeah, I'm on the show with you. I think that rates.
Well, that's true, but then I'm on the show with you.
Yeah, well.
So there you go. And by the way, we want you to go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, to learn about the Paracast Plus, our premium package, the exclusive After the Paracast podcast, the ad-free version of this show, more stuff, low rates, special prizes for long-term subscriptions, plus.theparacast.com. Joshua Cutchin, Waiting in the Wings with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Let's take a moment to mention Alternate Perceptions magazine. You know, it's been publishing since 1985, and it's been online since 2002. Each month, apmagazine.info brings new articles, interviews, and commentary on the worlds of mysteries, including UFOs, archaeological anomalies, ghost hunting, and news. It's edited by Brent Rains and Dr. Greg Little. And many of the top writers, such as Brad Steiger, are frequent contributors. That's apmagazine.info. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code Tech Night Owl for a special discount.
Concerned about harmful contaminants in your water? Look to ProPure, the most trusted name in gravity water filtration systems. ProPure, with the silver-infused Pro-1 G2.0 filter, removes over 200 contaminants, including VOCs, heavy metals, chloramines, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, fluorides, and radiologicals. We don't just say it, we back it up. The Pro-1 G2.0 filter is NSF 42 certified and independently tested to meet NSF 53 and P231 standards. Pro Pure Water, the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. Purchase with confidence in quality, performance, and customer service. Take advantage of our biggest holiday 25% off sale going on now. Visit your authorized Pro Pure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533. 800-544-3533.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment, and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I have an important message. Right now, the highest levels of government are struggling against an inevitable crisis, but they're about to lose control. When this happens, it will rip our country apart in ways you never imagined, from where we shop to the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. A few years ago, I warned that the housing prices would collapse. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash, and they did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves, but this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all. I've posted a free video at disappearingdollar.com. Maybe you'll disagree with my conclusions, but first you need to watch this video and see the facts for yourself. You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Flockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. FlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at FlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. FlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're talking about foodstuffs from the aliens, Sasquatch, fairies, the gods. Our guest is Joshua Cutchin. And he's author of a fascinating book called A Trojan Feast, The Food and Drink Offerings of Aliens, Fairies, and Sasquatch. Now, in our little conversation ahead of this interview, I said, okay, Joshua, tell me where you're from And it's a town called
Decula. Decula, Georgia. It's about halfway between Athens and Atlanta for anybody in this region.
Well, I recall being halfway when I lived in Alabama. I was in a town halfway between Birmingham and Atlanta.
Really? Yeah. Whereabouts?
Like Piedmont, Alabama.
Okay.
You know where that is?
I have some vague sense. My wife's grandmother actually lives in Opelika, so we spend some time in Alabama from time to time.
Yes, I know where that is, unfortunately. The radio station there, and still in existence, is WPID, the first radio station I worked at back in the late 1960s. And I worked there for about 3 or 4 months, and then the new manager decided to hire his nephew. And he said, okay, this is your last day. You don't give me notice? Well, no. I'm hiring my nephew. Anything wrong with my work? No, I'm just hiring my nephew. WPID, we used to say, it stands for Well, Piedmont is Dead.
Just some good old-fashioned nepotism, I suppose.
Yes, I don't think he lasted too long at that job, because a year or two later, I was passing by, and I stopped at the station because I saw the pickup truck or whatever vehicle he was driving of the owner. And I said, hi there. He said, well, you know, I'm kind of sorry we had to let you go there, but I let the manager I hired go also. So, you know, maybe that was poetic justice. You know, whenever we talk about alien or foodstuffs from strange creatures, I think of this silly episode many years ago involving a farmer from, was it Eagle River, Wisconsin or something
like
that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I still remember at my age, Joe Simonton, who received what we call pancakes from E.T. What can you say about that one before we really jump into it with full diving suits?
Yeah, well, it's really the poster child for this whole phenomenon in a nutshell and why it applies to the modern UFO phenomena. Simonton was in his house in the morning of April 18th, 1961, and he heard this strange sound that sounded like radials on wet pavement coming from outside. And he looks into his yard, and sitting there is this bowl-shaped craft, like two inverted bowls put together, real shiny. And inside are three individuals that he said looked like dark-skinned Italians, as it were, each about 5 feet tall, dressed in dark outfits and some knitted headgear. And one of them holds aloft this jug and obviously gestures for water. So Simonton, being this good Wisconsin farmer, goes and fetches some water from inside the house and brings it back out. At this point, Simonton notices that one of the other pilots of this craft is frying food on, quote-unquote, some sort of flameless griddle. He sees that they look like some sort of small, round pancakes. Sometimes you'll hear them alternately described as cookies. But they have all these holes in them in this real bizarre fashion. And apparently these entities noted that Simon was taking an interest in this and gave him four of these, actually. He kept one. He gave one to a local judge, he gave one to J. Allen Hynek, and he gave one to NICAP. Analysis was done, said it was all mundane ingredients, hydrogenated oil and buckwheat. You'll hear some rumors from time to time about there being unknown grains in the pancake. I've never found any real substantiation to that rumor. In tying in with my interests and how alien activity ties in with fairy phenomena, there were a race of fairies in the Netherlands who would actually give farmers pancakes when they were in the field and fresh water as well. They're called the Onerbensky. So the more you look into all these different cases, the more you see these little connections that are really, really interesting and compelling.
Now, what is your take on this? Obviously, the pancakes were conventional. Is this something he made up himself to get some fame and fortune? What?
Oh, well, you know, it's... I really don't know, because it's the only case that we have where we actually have something, one of these foodstuffs returned that is actually, you know, a physical object, which doesn't really seem to jive with what I have seen from this aspect of the phenomena as a whole. You know, the conventional explanation was that Simonton made the pancakes himself and was daydreaming, and I really don't buy that. I think what is more interesting to me is the fact that there are these physical pancakes, which he said that tasted awful. And it's interesting, if you look at the fairy lore, fairies would often cloak detritus, leaves, twigs, branches, etc., in glamour to appear appealing. But in reality, it was just, you know, stuff that you'd find on the forest floor that you wouldn't want to eat. It also ties into what fairies would eat. They would actually not eat actual food. They would only deprive food of its essence, or foison. and the food that you would eat if it had been deprived of its essence would be unfit for human consumption. So there's an interesting little parallel there too. Part of me believes that, you know, part of me believes that this was almost like a shell or a vehicle for Simon to experience something else. Having said that, I don't know why we don't have more physical evidence in other such cases.
That is so peculiar. Now, whatever happened to Simonton? I know he was interviewed on radio and TV. I even heard him. Shows you how old I am. But I was really young then. I heard him on the Long John Neble radio show, and he sounded like what you expect a Wisconsin farmer to sound like. You know, regular, normal guy.
Yeah, by all accounts, I believe that he just lived a relatively calm life for the rest of his life. I know that there's been some interest in possibly putting together a documentary around this case, but I haven't heard any new motion on that front.
So looking at history here, and we're talking about encountering strange beings or creatures and being offered or choosing to partake of foodstuffs of one sort or another. Where did your research begin? What attracted you to this?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in these sort of subjects, but my real interest has always been in this one aspect that no one ever seemed to talk about, which was the food taboo in fairy lore. If you were to be given food by a fairy, if you were walking down a country lane and they offered you something to eat or drink, and you took it and you ate or drank with it, you had to go with them and be stuck forever. I always saw certain parallels between that and a lot of abduction cases and even contactee cases as well, where people are given foodstuffs to eat and drink. The reason that I saw that as being a parallel is because, you know, these are relatively short interactions. It doesn't seem like this would be given for any sort of sustenance. It has to be given to administer some sort of effect. I wasn't sure how deep the connection was, though, until I was reading J. Robert Alley's Raincoast Sasquatch, which is a great book. It talks about Sasquatch sightings along the upper Pacific Northwest, stretching through Alaska. And at one point he mentions that some of the tribes in upper Canada and the Alaska area actually felt that if you were to take food from a Sasquatch, you would be trapped with the Sasquatch forever. And that to me was just too tantalizing of a tidbit to pass up. Anthropologists will tell you that this entire myth of being trapped with those that you eat is tied to the Greek myth of Persephone, who was the daughter of Demeter, goddess of the grain, and Hades actually abducted her to the underworld and was commanded to release her, but tricked her into eating a cursed pomegranate. And once she had consumed the seed, she had to stay with Hades for forever.
Let's do our break here, then
sure.
We'll go back to Greek mythology. We have Joshua Cutchin with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Attention, all men. Are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Are you having a slower, weaker stream? Don't ignore the warning signs of your aging prostate. Get your free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. Super Beta Prostate is guaranteed to support a more complete emptying of your bladder, a fuller, stronger stream, and less waking at night to urinate.
Super Beta Prostate is a product that I really like. I endorse it. I use it myself. I was very pleasantly surprised that Super Beta Prostate helped me fairly quickly.
Super Beta Prostate is formulated with a natural plant enzyme called beta-sitosterol. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 salt palmetto pills to get the same sterols as just one Super Beta Prostate tablet. Don't ignore the warning signs of your aging prostate. Call now to get your free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. Call 1-800-853-1203. That's 1-800-853-1203. 800-853-1203.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
All righty, Joshua Cutchin is here. We are talking about a fascinating book, which is called A Trojan Feast, The Food and Drink Offerings of Aliens, Fairies, and Sasquatch. In attempting to look at the genesis of this effect, we explored Greek mythology. Joshua, you want to go a little further into that?
Absolutely. So you'll have people citing the Persephone myth as the reason that this widespread cultural belief exists, that to consume with the other, you'll be trapped with the other. And I buy that for the entire Eurasian landmass, and even possibly with the idea that some ideas like that might extend into Africa. But when you're dealing with First Nations tribes on the North American continent, and when you're dealing with similar restrictions that are placed on people by ayahuasca shamans, I have a hard time believing that that is some sort of diffusion of the Persephone myth across the ocean. So I really wanted to look into see if there was something else to that particular food taboo and how, if any way, it could apply to the abduction phenomena. Now, of course, this is the part where you have to sort of stop and check yourself. Obviously, we wouldn't have any tales about modern abductees taking and receiving food and coming back if they never came back. So I
think the thing here about how many people who've been abducted didn't come back. Now, for your reference, last week we had a discussion about abductions with Kathleen Marden. You know her?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the first thing that you raise there, which is, of course, if they haven't come back, we don't know what happened. But do we have any record of people disappearing that you might attribute to possibly it was related to abductions?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people would bring in the work of David Politis, even though I don't think he would necessarily would be comfortable standing beside that fact.
Yeah, exactly. How about Albert Osman?
Albert Osmond, yeah, I've actually referred to David's work as sort of like a paranormal Rorschach test. Whatever you want to see, you will see in there. But yeah, I guess what I was getting at is that you have people who are taken and who are given food and who still return. So obviously we have to reinterpret what not being able to return home means. And the way that I sort of got around to it in my own head was perhaps that means that you'll never be able to figuratively return home again. Your world will never be the same after this particular experience. You mentioned Albert Osmond. It's probably the most famous case of Sasquatch abduction. Osmond was taken in, I believe, his affidavit was in 1957, so I think it was sometime in the 30s that he was actually taken by Sasquatch. It's interesting because finding tales about Sasquatch abduction are kind of hard, and finding tales that are credible are even harder, and finding tales that are credible where they've been given something to eat are even harder than that. Osmond was a prospector working in British Columbia, and he was carried while asleep in his sleeping bag by some sort of large, hairy hominid. And after 3 hours, he was dumped into this small valley, and he was surrounded by the Sasquatch family. Over the course of a couple of days, you know, he had some of his own provisions, but he was also given some sweet roots that he could describe them with, that they said that they had a satisfying taste. This is interesting to me because a lot of the foodstuffs that people receive tend to fall into sweeter categories. It's really difficult trying to categorize all of this stuff because sometimes you'll have people just remember that they ate something or they drank something or they took my glass of water and dropped a pill into it and it changed into something else. Well, do you classify that as water, an alien drink, or an alien pill? You know, how do you classify those? Overall, these sweet roots that Osmond tried tend to fit with that particular flavor profile. It's also interesting that Osmond was able to escape by using consumables. He actually had the Sasquatch father, he tricked him into eating his tobacco snuff that Sasquatch allegedly washed down his awful meal of snuff with a boiling hot coffee and all the grounds. So it's interesting how the food played a role in that particular account.
Now, what I think of here is the possibility here, if this is happening, that this food compels you to stay with your abductors or those with whom you're in contact. Is there some kind of poison in there possibly that is affecting you?
Well,
I'm looking for a real explanation in terms of the physical world as opposed to some spiritual world thing, but of course that may not apply.
I'm neither a fan of the objective or the subjective, actually, so I don't know if I'm entirely qualified to answer that. I would think that the sort of conclusions that I arrived at lead me to believe that there is some sort of greater symbolic meaning to this consumption. I don't think it's necessarily an objective poison or like you're consuming a drink that has nanotransmitters in it or something. I think more about it possibly being a way to gain access to someone's psyche or to influence their worldview. You know, I think of the Proustian effect of smelling or seeing or tasting something and it recalling past memories. Well, in my conclusion, which is the only chapter of the book that I actually present in first person because I wanted to make it very clear that I had my opinions and I had my data, which were very different things. The first time I ever saw Planet of the Apes was also the first time that I ever had peanut butter pie. I love peanut butter pie to this day, but I will never forget taking those bites of peanut butter pie while Charlton Heston is standing in front of Dr. Zaius being interrogated. And I was 8 years old or something. It's a pretty nihilistic film for an 8-year-old. To this day, I get a little bit of a sinking feeling in my gut whenever I eat peanut butter pie. So if I was abducted and aliens really wanted to sell me on a message about an impending apocalypse, maybe they would present me with peanut butter pie, and that would have a similar effect.
Not relate.
We're sort of the sum total of our experience, and I think that in terms of the era in which you grow up in, you might have certain images and certain aspects of the zeitgeist which are imprinted upon you. So
this is getting back to what we were talking about before, about if you were abducted, they could probably really do a number on your head if they offered you peanut butter pie. How many cases do we have of fae folk, aliens, whatever, or whomever, offering a contactee, abductee, experiencer something that they really like and then that they can identify with? It seems to me that most often what you encounter in the literature, I'm thinking, you know, Evans Weiss, Fairy Faith in the Celtic Countries, other books, Passage to Magonia, Passport or Passage, I forget, Novalis' seminal work. You don't normally equate these experiences with the victim or experiencer being offered something familiar or
right,
something that they really like.
it's interesting. There was an article posted to the UFO updates by Nick Pope a while back in the day, where he mentioned that that food and drink didn't really seem to feature that much in abduction reports. And honestly, I mean, if you look at the way that the phenomena recontextualizes itself, I would argue that pills and injections are just as much a variation on this food trope as anything else. In terms of things being actually alien, I don't. Well, let me walk this back a little bit. The most common things that you see offered are liquids, and as such, I feel like a wider range for how they can be identified. You will have people sort of graft on comparisons to what they were, but as far as an actual like literal comparison, that doesn't occur very much in the modern literature. You're very much correct. In fairy lore, it would be very common to be given an ale or a wine. Which oftentimes being fairy struck meant having too much alcohol. So it seems like it would be a very appealing thing to someone who likes their drink to offer them drink.
Hey, at least little guys party.
Yeah, exactly. it's interesting. Things are much more recognizable in contactee reports. The general manner in which these foodstuffs divide falls upon the abductee and contactee lines very clearly. Contactees receive good-tasting foods voluntarily, and they're usually recognizable. And they're usually, you know, they're usually, you know, you can take it or leave it. And they take it and they eat it, and it's the best thing that they've ever had. Abductees are generally forced something. It's generally foul tasting, either meaning bitter or, you know, cloyingly sweet, something along those lines. So, yeah, in terms of the truly unrecognizable, you kind of see that. But you also find these bizarre cases, especially in contactee cases of, being given, in rare cases, a steak. I think of, you know, Orfeo Angelucci's Nectar, which he recognized as a drink. He just didn't recognize it as actually what it really might have been. So, yeah, in terms of recognizability, that's another reason that it became kind of difficult to put these into categories.
I want to ask an interesting question here about whether these substances, assuming they are substances, are designed to put someone in a state where they imagine the things that allegedly happened to them. Joshua Cutchin is here with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
If you're like me, you're concerned about the stock market and the economy. You're asking the questions, but it just doesn't seem that you're getting the right answers. Well, my friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute not only have the answers, but they put together a free report, How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your 401ks, IRA Savings, and Retirement Income. Don't hesitate. This report's for free for a limited time by calling 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take back your financial lives today.
The following is an important holiday inventory announcement from IDStronghold.com.
As many of you have come to know, IDStronghold.com is the number one name in quality RFID blocking wallets that actually do as they say and prevent electronic pickpocketing of the new RFID chips found in credit cards, room keys, subway passes, and more. Last year, due to the extreme popularity of giving IDStronghold wallets and clutches as unique gifts at Christmas time, we ran out of our most popular styles and colors early. The good news is, we now have our holiday inventory ready for same-day shipping. We have added many more designs of beautiful leather wallets and clutches, all with state-of-the-art built-in electronic pickpocket shielding from the most respected name in RFID protection, IDStronghold.com. Don't wait and limit your choices of these great gifts. We are expecting another sellout season. These wallets aren't available in stores, so visit IDStronghold.com today. That's IDStronghold.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So watch out if someone offers you a drink at the bar. Maybe it's E.T. They want to steal you. But what do you think, Joshua, about the possibility here that, number one, assuming it's not a metaphor for something else, you're being given some kind of substance, a drink, food, whatever. It's designed to put your mind in a state where they can control you and make you think things happened that didn't happen and maybe something else happened instead.
That's definitely along the lines of the way that I take it. I have no qualms about not being a huge fan of the extraterrestrial hypothesis, because to me it's a very tidy explanation for a grossly untidy phenomena. Part of that untidiness comes in the fact that not every encounter involves food and drink. I've had some people be like, obviously, these entities are giving them an entheogen, it's putting them into this altered state. But A, not every encounter involves that, and B, the entity would have to appear to give you the entheogen to make the entity appear. So that doesn't quite wash with me. I do think that there is some significance to the fact that in a vast majority of these cases, the offer of food or drink tends to bookend the encounter. It either comes at the beginning or at the end. And it's interesting because there are actually quite a few handful of encounters where in Faelor, the consumption of food in the fairy realm would actually return you to reality. There was one legend where a young shepherd had joined a fairy ring and he was transported to a fairy palace and he loved it there. Everything he wished for came true and he was told that he could stay as long as he didn't sip from the fountain. And of course, as fairy tale protagonists do, he did, and he was returned to the real world. So it's a little inversion on that being kept in fairyland trope that you do see in a lot of abduction encounters. I would say, if I'm going to make up a statistic off the top of my head, 3/4 of abduction cases will feature a food being administered just before letting people out. Thomas Bullard, who wrote the foreword for my book, actually made a similar observation in his Abductions, the Measure of a Mystery, which is a wonderful, wonderful compilation of abduction cases, where a lot of times some sort of substance would be administered almost to force amnesia upon the abductee.
Let's turn the tables here a little bit. I have a question from Harry Newton, who's a longtime poster at the Paracast forums, and we have a question thread where you can ask questions of our guests. And he's wondering about the other way around, the humans putting up offerings of food to paranormal creatures or legends. And his question goes, do you think there's any connection between the food offered by paranormal creatures and beings to people and the food that people offer gods, spirits, or paranormal creatures. For example, it is traditional to leave food for Santa Claus and his reindeer, but I suspect this is based on a far more ancient custom. I understand in some cultures or religions that food is divided and a portion offered to the spirits or ancestors, and in some cases people are actually buried with food for their journey into the afterlife. His personal favorite is the legend of the Lambton Worm, where it is said that people filled cattle troughs with milk for the worm to drink so it wouldn't eat the people.
Yeah, it's one of those great things about looking into this particular subject is because it does open up a lot of other avenues to talk about. You know, I've had a lot of people who have come to me and been like, oh, you've written this food. Is it about how aliens like strawberry ice cream? Well, no, it's not about that. It's about the act of offering. But having said that, I don't think that you can talk about the act of offering of entities to humans without talking about the offerings from humans to entities. I think this is all very much tied into the similar thing. You know, you had the Irish tradition of the sin eater. You still have the Dia de los Muertos celebrations where individuals offer food to their departed ones, and the departed actually consume the essence of the food, exactly like the fae folk of Celtic lore, and leave behind the remnants of the food. You know, it's really interesting, the vast catalog of fairy entities that exist out there, not just the little winged ones, but also the, you know, trolls and the nastier type, all had very specific things that they wanted to be left behind. And, you know, every time they would take this food's essence and leave behind the remnants. And, of course, this is a convenient way, if you're skeptical, of saying, well, that's why, you know, the milk that I left out for the fairies is still there. What's compelling to me is how there are plenty of anecdotes about, for example, cats consuming milk that was left out for pixies, becoming ill afterwards, or animals avoiding the offerings that were left out for the fairies, which to me calls to mind a lot of your work, Chris, with cattle mutilations, how oftentimes predators will avoid these sort of tainted offerings.
Exactly. Well, I love the ones where the Irish housewives would be overwhelmed with their daily existence, and they'd leave out treats and milk for the brownies to come clean their house for them.
Yeah, it's interesting. That. Sometimes it's actually helpful, and sometimes it's almost like protection money. You know, sometimes it's like give us this offering, or else we'll beat you up. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I just thought I'd throw that in there because there are quite a number of ancient traditions going all the way back to you know, the old kingdom of Egypt, where the pharaohs would actually be you know, interned with food, and of course all their slaves would be put to death and left with them, and this whole idea of going somewhere else and taking provisions with you is a very, very ancient custom. And I agree with you. I it's very difficult for me to believe that there isn't some sort of connection when we are talking about the reverse, like we are here about you know, children feasts.
Yeah, that's where a lot of my interests lie. I mean, I have friends who are like, you don't really believe in that, do you? And of course, that's such a loaded question. What I find most fascinating are the connective bits. And to me, when you have so many bizarre connections, it really does reinforce the narrative. And I would even extend this narrative of giving and taking to modern Sasquatch habituators. I mean, how is that really any different, the people leaving food out for the fairies and food out for the pixies, you know?
No, it's about as closely related as you can get. And there are quite a number of accounts. And still to this day, you see on the internet and some of the Bigfoot shows, people leave out candy, sweets for these creatures. And allegedly, quite a number of them seem to enjoy that. And that's, you know, I had an interesting story. It just reminded me that my grandfather told me from 1918 in Hoquiam, Washington, where a woman contacted the sheriff and said, there's this silver-haired Bigfoot that's going through my salted fish. She had a fish salting operation, and the thing was in broad daylight. It was turning her barrels over and gobbling up these salted fish. And, of course, the sheriff was summoned, and they chased it away, allegedly. I seem to remember something about how she had left some out for it and then stopped leaving it, and that's when he came in. Or there was some twist on there where it had happened before, and she had left food out, and then when she stopped doing that, or for some reason she didn't, then it came back, which I find interesting. Have you encountered stories like that, where you have someone that ceases to leave offerings or hush money or, you know, extortion yeah, food, and then have to deal with, you know, the ramifications of maybe angering one of these fairies or Bigfoot or name your creature, you know, a troll.
I'm really glad that you asked that question, because I was actually going to bring that up. You know, I have to view modern habituator reports with a great giant grain of salt, pardon me, food related pun. But I have heard tales of people who have, you know, gotten in, one of these creatures supposedly used to habituation, and they leave for an extended period of time to go to the hospital or something, and they come back and their livestock is slaughtered. Again, apocryphal, but that's, you know, very much like what you'd see in fairy lore. I mean, if you didn't, there was a brownie who actually slaughtered a bunch of livestock in the island of Inch in Scotland as well. So you'll see, you know, and again, it's this interest in our livestock that's sort of interesting. But and they're not averse to taking them, you know. Within this giving and taking motif, you also have to talk about theft. And sometimes the fairies would, you know, in this idea of taking the essence of food, they would take, you know, an internal part of an oxen. And the oxen would look okay, but it would have a limp afterwards or something. There are some tales of things like that going on. And, you know, you also run into tales of Sasquatch, especially in South American plantations, large hairy hominids stealing fruits and stealing foods. I found a great, incredibly, incredibly apocryphal, probably not well vetted story from Russia in 1932 about a craft that had landed in a potato field, and they had these like dog-like pets that really like stealing farmers' milk and eggs and chicken and their geese, and they would they would foul up the livestock feed, they would mutilate the sheep, they would take grain and potatoes from the fields, and they would take grain off of the silo. And you know, I included that in the book because it sounds especially truthy, and I have all my usual qualifications around it. Hey, buyer beware. But it's interesting that even if from a cultural phenomena that these similar motifs of these short entities coming and stealing from us are still, you know, are still in our popular culture.
Let's go more into the popular culture aspect and more with Joshua Cutchin and Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.